Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, Akwaba, Hotep, and welcome once again to another exciting episode of Dubwise Talk. I am Judah Ra, your host, and I am so elated to have tonight as a very special guest who is a world traveler and has many, many perspectives on traveling and writing and the whole works. We are in for a treat tonight, none other than Soyinka Ogun-Busola. And before we bring her on, I'd like to tell you that we are brought to you by Lalibela's Ethiopian restaurant located at 5633 North Ashland Avenue. and for an unforgettable meal, for an unforgettable experience, do patronize and go to Lalibela's at 5633 North Ashland Avenue and speak to Samson and his wife, Heru, the master chef. You'll be so glad that you did. And we are brought to you by Popcorn Haven. What's poppin'? It's at Popcorn Haven. They are located at 111th and Cicero, conveniently for you. And they have over 100 flavors. So I am sure they have a flavor that will fit your palate. And we have a new sponsor on tonight. Yay! We have a new sponsor on tonight, none other than Aura and Aura Entertainment, located in Atlanta, Georgia. The owner and operator's name is Rhonda Renee Washington, and she is building a strong cachet of artists that you will be hearing soon on this show. One in particular, specifically, his name is Royce Carr. So we will be hearing him on next month. So you want to get in touch with Rhonda Renee Washington, give her a call at 404-913-4797. That is 404-913-4797. Her cachet specializes in neo soul and poetry. All right, give thanks. Now, let's welcome our beloved guest, Soyinka Ogun Usola. Yay! Greetings, sister. How are you?
Hi, how are you this evening?
I am so happy to have you on, beloved. I feel great in my body and my soul and my mind.
Fantastic, because the ancestors are walking with you. In fact, they're walking with us. Let me just put it that way, because I've really been anticipating speaking with you. You know, it's like, wow, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, indeed, beloved. Yes. You know, what I'd like to know first is, what does your name mean? Is it Yoruba?
Yes, it is. Yes, it's Yoruba, and my first name, Soyinka, means seers surround me. Spiritual people with their sight, they surround me. My last name, Ogun Usola, it translates to mean the Orisha. Ogun, the deity of iron and steel and war, brings honor. He brings honor to my house. He brings honor to my name, to my ancestral line. Because I come from a line of the Yoruba would say Ogun people. Those are people whose patrons are the Orisha Ogun. Just like the Catholics, they have their Saint Michael, and they're the patrons of police officers and soldiers. Well, Ogun is the patron of warriors, and that would classify police officers, soldiers, anybody that works with steel. And I come from a background, a family of police officers and soldiers and steel workers. Yes. So.
Yes, yes. How powerful the sound of the name.
She's a powerful, very powerful Orisha, you know, and he just brings that strength. Definitely brings strength to us.
Yes, indeed. Well, we are very appreciative of the spirit of Ogun, because we need all of the spirits to make us whole, you know.
Definitely.
Give thanks to all of the spirits of our ancestors. Let me straighten that out. The ancestral spirit. So tell us, where were you born specifically? What city?
Specifically, I was born in Camden, New Jersey, born and raised there. But I later, you know, after reaching adulthood in search of employment, this, that, and the other, ended up moving to Philadelphia, and I reside here in Philadelphia now.
Ah, and, I
here for like about 35 years or so, maybe 30 years. I'll give it about 30 years. Yeah, I've been here in Philadelphia. It was an employment thing at the time, but now I'm retired, so I'm doing my creative endeavors full-time at my leisure at a much more relaxed pace where, you know, your creativity can pretty much flow on, you know, without restraints.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because sometimes when you get stressed out, it's like your creativity just can't flow the way you need it to. And you have
mm-hmm.
so many ideals in your head that you want to get down on paper, and you have all these stories going on inside of your brain. But when you're stressed out, it's like it gets locked down.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about writer's block, you know, the whole nine yards. We struggle with these things, but after retiring, you know, everything is just like really super flowing. In fact, in about a few weeks, I'll be coming out with a new novel titled The Dorian Gray Files, The Womb of Darkness. And I had a lot of fun writing that. It's a story that takes place in the Vatican and also in Mali. It's a story that tells about stolen African artifacts under the Vatican. So I had a lot of fun writing that. And things just kind of like, the concept just flowed like really super easy, because now I feel more at ease with myself.
Yes, yes, you know? You are in tune. You are in tune with the vibration of the universe right now. So it's
I
just
try to stay on that point.
Yes, like a conduit, you know. People don't realize what an artist has to actually do to sacrifice to present to them what the universe is trying to tell them. And you have to be in the right position and have the right frame of mind and the right conditions and the right energy to produce that. And sometimes I found out if you get that inspiration to do something and you don't do it, down the road you will hear that song that I was going to do, or the title at least that I was going to do.
Mm.
So the universe definitely wants the messages out, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It's so very true, because the universe has so many ways that it speaks to you, so many different conduits the universe utilizes to speak through you. It may be through the ancestors, it may be the law, it may be Orisha, it may be Abosun, it may be Metunetas. You know,
yes.
it's just out there.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
So it's like when you're stressed out, you really can't hear. You know, but when you get like really super laid back, things
mm-hmm.
just start flowing to you. I remember when I finally completed a 5-book series titled To Resurrect and Avenge. This concept came to me while I was working. And it's like it just kept coming and it just kept coming and it just kept coming to me. And at first I thought I was really tripping, because the thoughts that were flowing to me was reincarnation, because being a black female working in a predominantly white police department, a lot of times hanging around, well, working with these individuals and just kind of like sitting back, observing them and the way they treat people and the things that I have experienced working with them kind of it had taken me back to perhaps what I thought to be another lifetime during a time of slavery. And I would start thinking to myself, what if this is a splashover from another life? But now we're all on a level playing field. It's no more slave and slave master. And I kind of like thought about that, because it's like I'm working with these cats with all this racism flowing all over the place, and a lot of times I had to check quite a few people and coworkers and put them in place, and it just kept bringing out this idea, you need to write about this, you need to write about this, the way you're feeling. So I sat down and I started writing, and it just kind of like flowed, because once I got started, it was like the floodgates had kind of like opened out. And it turned into, before I realized it, it had turned into a five-book series. And this is more or less a story of a reincarnation, a situation where it started out in the 1800s, right around the time with the emancipation, around this era. Yeah. And it's down in a Louisiana, on a Louisiana slave plantation, where a revolt takes place, uprising, and everybody gets wiped out, slaves, slave masters, overseers, the whole nine yards. But check it out, they come back into the next life, and they all end up in a Louisiana police department. But everybody has bits and pieces of memories, but they can't quite seem to put it together. And this came to me while I was working. I've been a police officer for like about 25 years. I just recently retired in February. And I've gone through a lot of challenging situations and circumstances. Like I said, being a black female, working in a predominantly male arena, white male arena. And it's really super crazy.
May I interrupt you momentarily?
Certainly.
I want to wholeheartedly thank you sincerely for your service to the public, not to who they give thanks for, but how you stood up and put your fellow colleagues, if you will, in check, because a lot of our sisters and brothers just turn the other cheek or either join in. And I am so honored to have you on my show for that, and I thank you wholeheartedly, and I'm sure that my listening audience does too, because one thing about this show is all conscious.
Okay, cool, because one thing that I didn't mention, after this book was published, five book, the whole series is out, right before I was getting ready to retire, I was wrongfully terminated, but I got my job back. And I do believe that it was a result of me writing this book.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Even though yeah, this is like a suspense type of thing, like a X-Files, Supernatural, but just the fact that how dare you write and publish?
Yeah.
How dare you be intelligent enough to accomplish this? Not only one, but you did a whole five-book series here while you're working here. You know, and a lot of times you can talk about situations and circumstances and really paint a very vivid picture of things going on, of attitudes and mindsets and behavior, without really pointing any fingers. So I guess that must have really gotten to someone, you know.
I see.
It's crazy,
and it's unfortunate, but we have an energy that compels us to do the right thing. So again, I thank you. What was art like growing up in your home? How were you exposed to art as a child?
I was exposed to, believe it or not, my father liked to listen to jazz. And
yes,
at a very young age, I was listening to his music, Coltrane, Thelonious Monk, Charlie Parker, and I used to play with his reel-to-reel player. Do you remember those things? They had big old spool,
a tape
on them.
Yes, I had a Sony reel-to-reel. In those days, when you went to a brother's house, and even a sister, but predominantly brother, the first thing we wanted to do was, the first thing we want to ask is, where's your box? Because in the box was the music. You know, there was some Sensui, KLH, A&R 4, you know, all those. We used to have all those things. And when you said reel or reel, that was the epitome of the box. When you had a reel or reel. It was that. If a brother had reel or reel, you couldn't say nothing to him.
I'm telling you, because it was the one that sat down on it. It didn't stand up like vertical. It's more like a horizontal, big, giant box. And I was just so fascinated. And then when I heard the music playing, and I couldn't have been no more than like about maybe 10 or 11. And this is like back in the 60s.
Yes.
You know, so I grew up during the civil rights era. You know, I was, you know, a kid coming up in that era, and my dad, he listened to the jazz. He loved the jazz. My mother, I remember her getting into one of the songs by Chaka Khan, Sweet Thing, and she used to always sing that to my father.
Uh-huh.
And it was a lot of music in my household. It was like a lot of love in the household. Me and my cousins, we would listen to like the oldies on Sunday night, and we would just sit by the radio, and it was like a good way that we would spend the evening.
Yes,
you know,
indeed.
Just taking in the oldies, you know. Like I said, I'm a kid of the 60s, that civil rights era, and that was an era that was very, there was a lot going on.
Yes, it was.
It was a whole lot going on then. You know, very explosive era. A time of revolution within the arts, within the civil rights themselves. You know, as black people coming into being just to make a big, giant change. There was a lot of upheaval as well, because you had Vietnam taking place.
Yes.
You know, at the time.
Yes.
And
then
we had our thing over here going on. And then when you went down to, like, Texas, you had the Latinos, the Filipinos. They were going through their thing with the farm laws and having equal white rights as well. And the Native Americans. It was, like, all over the country. It was this really huge transformation taking place.
Yes, indeed.
And
I recall those days.
To grow up. Yeah, watching this. I remember watching the news with my mother, the 5 o'clock news, where I believe it was down in Selma, Alabama, where Dr. King was trying to segregate, I think it was Selma, one of those places, and the firemen came out and they were hosing everybody down and the dogs.
Yeah.
And I was looking at it and I said, Mommy, is that for real? Because here in New Jersey, when we saw the firemen, they always waved to us. So it was really hard for me to take that in my mind as a young child and digest that. You know, but I guess that was just powerful, the course of what my path would be like later on in life, just to see these different, you know, outcomes of events taking place.
We have a caller in 262 area code. Welcome, caller. Do you have a comment or a question for Soyinka?
Yes, Soyinka. Can you hear me?
Yes, indeed. Rhonda?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, do you
have
a question or a comment for Soyinka?
Yes, I do. Hotep Queen, how are you?
Adifeo, sister. Thank you.
Absolutely. You hit on some things. I was over here shouting, girl. You was preaching to my spirit. And I just wanted to say, you know, when you were talking about the ancestors and you know, just going back, you know, I definitely can and feel that vibe. And when you talk to people who are conscious, like Judah was saying, it's such a delight to be in that presence. And I just wanted to know where are you outside of the book, are you doing any public appearances or anything?
I will be doing an appearance at the LOX conference that will be sometime in October, the 3rd and the 4th. That's when I'll be doing a signing. Then hopefully things go well and, you know, we can make that connection. I'm here in the Philadelphia area. A lot of times I'll play stuff by ear, and when it just pops up, I'll post it on my website or either on Facebook. You know, you can always Google my name on Facebook, so Yinka Ogunbu Shala, and friend me. And any information that I get to any appearances that I'm doing, it'll definitely be there. It'll be posted. I'm on Twitter. Like I said, just type in Soyinka Ogunbu Shala, and we can just link up there like that.
Thank you. Well, I just wanted, in closing, I just wanted to say that, you know, you were that comment you made about the Vatican and the stolen information. Baby,
okay.
We on the same page. I research that daily, and the truth will be heard. And I'd just like to end this with the revolution will be televised. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sis. I appreciate it.
Yes, that was Sister Rhonda Renee, and she has the R and R Entertainment. And she represents artists. So maybe you guys can link up, you know. Indeed.
That would be fantastic.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are brought to you by Lali Bella's Ethiopian Restaurant, located at 5633 North Ashland. And we are brought to you by Popcorn Haven, located at 111th and Cicero in Chicago. And we are brought to you by R&R Entertainment. They are located in Atlanta, Georgia. And their telephone number, once again, is, I have it somewhere. Here we are. The telephone number is 404-413-4797. That is 404-913-4797. At this time, we're going to take a listen to a song that I wrote a little while ago called Nibiru, and I'm sure that Sister Soyinka might have some insight as to Nibiru. Here comes Nibiru. I just wrote this last year, actually. That was Nibiru, and We Are Black with Soyinka Ogunbosola. And let me ask you, beloved, what was the first, what was the first piece of literature that resonated in your soul, and how old were you?
The first piece that really, really made an impact, that really influenced a lot of my writing, was Octavia Butler's Wild Seed. And, oh my God, I can't even remember how old I was. Wow. I mean, I'm like talking about going way back there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, she was like my hero. You know, when I was young, though, I did take in a lot of comic books. You know, it was just the thing about the colors, because there's something about colors that stimulate those creative centers in your brain. And it just kind of like opens things up for you. So you can get on to that level. I was listening to an interview by Octavia Butler, and she had made a comment that really stuck. And she had said she was looking at a movie, and the movie was so horrible. It was horribly written. And she says, I can write better than this. And she went on to putting her energy into her work and putting that creativity toward her goals and her objectives. And she just came out with such a really huge array of books that really, really have stuck with me. Pattern Master, Mind of My Mind, Fledgling, The Wild Thing. I mean, it's like, wow, this is just awesome.
What are her topics?
Her topics, she's centered around culture, history, tradition, social, political areas that affected peoples of color. And I said, well, you know what? She really is in tune with people of color socially, politically, economically, historically, emotionally, and spiritually. And all her stories kind of like center around those arenas. Because reading a lot of her work has really influenced me to kind of like follow in her footsteps. Like the first sci-fi novel that I wrote was The Chaos Chronicles.
Tell us about
that. Trilogy. Okay, this is a story that takes place in it takes place in Nigeria. In fact, what I'll do is I'm going to read the excerpt from Oscar Back, and let me find my glasses here. Okay.
Yes,
and I had a lot of fun writing this, because this is a book that'll basically bring out all of your emotions, because that's when a good writer knows that they're doing their job, when you bring out a person's emotions. Tormented by horrific dreams that literally draw blood, Ife Kenyatta is urged by her Native American ancestors to return to Nigeria and seek out a mysterious village of shamans surrounded by land bewitched with terrifying mirage-like barriers that protect it from outsiders. In this village, she must undergo a deadly rites of passage where she must die and return to the beginning of time to witness the war in heaven between the primordial gods and goddesses against the powers of darkness before the creation of the human race. But as she travels across Nigeria in search of this mysterious village, her travel companions and herself are illegally stopped at a border checkpoint by a squad of rogue soldiers abusing their authority. Unfortunately for the soldiers, a mysterious death claims one of their own. Now, Ife and her companions must flee for their lives as they are now murder suspects. On the other side of the coin, Fatima Jatari, captain of the H2O Water Cat, commissioned for the investigation of abnormal and unusual incidents and anomalies off the coast of Nigeria, was out on a routine investigation when she and her crew stumbles across the wreckage of what they perceive as a horrible shipping accident, until further investigation revealed the unimaginable and unspeakable that leads them out into the notorious Middle Passage. Somehow, these two women must join forces in eliminating a deadly threat in the middle of the Atlantic. But unbeknownst to the captain, a mutinous saboteur plots to overthrow her authority and take control of the ship. And this was a trilogy that I wrote. The first book is Spirit Walk. The second one is War in Heaven. And the last one is Fire and Water. And it takes place in Nigeria.
What is... Sister, what is your astrological sign?
I am a Virgo ruled by Mercury.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Mercury's thing is the scribe. You know, it's writing. It's that literary thing. Ever since I was a kid, you know, I was into, you know, let's write some stories. It's kind of like pretend. You know, let's write about mad scientists. Let's make treasure maps, and that's a Virgo thing. You know, that's that Mercury. And
indeed.
I really suffer when Mercury goes into retrograde, because it's like, oh my God, things just aren't right for me. Because Mercury, I can tell when that planet is doing its thing, when it's moving forward the way it's supposed to at the right speed. My mind is constantly constantly going. But when it goes into retrograde and it kind of like stops, it's like everything just kind of like gets jumbled up for me. And I have to basically pretty much put a halt on what it is that I'm doing.
I have a dear friend who too is a Virgo and very insightful. And she says she used to abhor when Mercury would go into retrograde, but she learned to cleave to it because that has a purpose in our life to draw attention to being alert and exact and everything and to contemplate before we do anything that would be rash. So every now and then it's like a tune-up.
I just haven't learned to quite adapt to it just yet because I think going through the transition that I've just gone through, you know, retiring and then getting into this full-fledged, you know, writer, artistic type of lifestyle, and after 25 years of doing something else, now making this kind of like shift, and then Mercury doing this thing not too long ago, Mercury just went forward. I'm like, What do I do? Because I'm there now like that at times, you know, when, if I'm not like sketching or drawing or doing some editing, you know, and it's like, oh my goodness. So it's a whole new world is kind of like opening up to me, and I do need to embrace the Mercury retrograde because it's also a time where we should reflect on reviewing things. You know, like editing. It's a great time, Mercury retrograde, just come back and kind of like do things over again. Go back over your proofreading, over your editing or whatever, or any touch-ups and any art that you that you're working on. You know, just have to calm down and do your thing.
So, Yinka, it has been an unparalleled pleasure to have you as my guest this evening, and we would really be honored to have you come back for another episode. How would you agree to that or not?
Yes, sir, of course, of course. I mean, there's so many things that I would like to share with you. Like I said, I got this new book coming out in about 30 days or so, maybe a little less than that. Maybe I did about 3 weeks, hopefully, you know, things go well. And
yes,
like I said, it's about the stolen artifacts and the Vatican,
yes,
coming into consciousness, wreaking havoc, and an adventure taking place in Mali, also within the Sahara, and that,
yes,
is encompassing some of the Middle Eastern, how can I say, some of their folklore and their myths that take place in the desert.
How can one get in touch with you for a reading or a booking?
My information, like I said, I'm on Facebook. Just hit me up on Facebook.
Very good.
Just type in Soyinka Ogunbowusu, and you'll find all my information there. You'll find links and, you know, the whole nine yards.
I want to bid you love and unification. And beloved, have another divine evening. We'll talk at down the road. We will reschedule you another time exactly. All right, so give love and give honor and peace and joy to the world. From Dubwise Talk,
yeah,
peace and love, y'all. Respect. Hotep, hotep.
Peace and blessing. Thank you so much. And ancestors continue to walk with you. Oh, God.
Good thing.
Bye.